Well, I want to remind you about our Bible reading that we're doing as a church starting today, and we're going through the book of Acts. And so today we'll start with Acts chapter 1. And this this book of Acts, we're not just selecting this for any old reason, like we threw a dart at all the Bible books and came up with the book of Acts. No, it's on purpose. This church here is an Acts 29 church. There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and I believe, whatever, it may be 29, it may be 65, it may be 3,071, I don't know. But this church is a chapter in the book of Acts. And so we want to see the things that God wants to happen in our midst. Because Jesus is alive and well, and His church only gets stronger, only gets better. So begin to see ourselves and begin to pray about this year and what God wants to do and what the Spirit of God wants to do through us. And as you're reading these chapters, think about where you are and what this church is about, and begin to see ourselves doing the works of Jesus, and not only doing the works of Jesus, but seeing the results that He had. Amen? And I want to thank everybody that came out for prayer last Sunday. It was an awesome time of prayer. We did it in hour shifts, and thank you for everybody came out. And I think what a great way to start our year. And we've already seen fruit from that, all that happened at Jump 07, and we're going to see in the days to come the answers to our prayers that we prayed. Amen? Well, we were talking about prayer. Last week we talked about the power of prayer, and I want to pick up with that again. I want to start off by reading a couple quotes from a man that's one of my mentors. He's not living, but I have all his books, and he died in, I think, 1948, around there in the 40s, and but I've learned to know this man's heart by his books, and so I'm reading one of his books right now called In His Presence, and it's by E.W. Kenyon, and we have some of E.W. Kenyon's books in the Resource Center if you're interested, but I want to read a couple quotes by him. To kind of start things off today. The first one is, a prayerless ministry is a powerless ministry. Number two, a prayerless church is a useless church. I mean, I don't want to be a useless church. I want to be a church that's making a difference, changing lives, real change, real seeing God's power, seeing the miraculous power. Next one, a prayerless church is a cold church ruled by the flesh. And there's two ways we can live our lives. We can live by the Spirit or we can live by the flesh. We live by the flesh, you're going to have flesh results. It's not going to be good. There's a way that seems right to man, and the end thereof is death. Our ways are not going to cut it. We want God's ways. Next one, a church is as powerful as its prayer life. And then the last one is, the men and women who learn the secret of reaching the throne, getting the ear of God, become dangerous to the hosts of darkness. And I want to be a church, I want this church, Good News Church, to be dangerous. I want us to be making a difference in this city. I don't want us just to be existing. I want the enemy mad at us, doing all he can to stop us. And because I'm not afraid of that, because I know he's under our feet. I know he's defeated. Jesus has already won the victory. And what we're doing is just walking out that victory right now. But I just have a strong desire. You know, we're not a one-man, one-woman show here, or just a few people operating in God's power. We want the whole church. That's part of what we're doing with our I Give Life training. We want all of us qualified to get someone saved and filled with the Spirit and be able to pray for somebody. That's part of who we are. We learned at Oral Roberts University to go into every man's world. Not into just the church world, but on the job, in the neighborhood, in the grocery store, wherever we go. We are lights. and we have something to offer people. Something that has changed our lives and can change their lives. So let's pick up where we left off last week. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I made this statement last week, and I'll say it again today. If I could do one thing, only one thing differently in 2007 as compared to 2006, it would be to spend more time in prayer. If I did everything else the same and just did that one thing, whether it be 3 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or a half an hour a day or an hour, whatever it is, even just one more minute. Because I know if that were to happen, a whole series of things would happen in my life that wouldn't have happened for good. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I love that. God's throne. Not the throne of condemnation. Not the throne of disgrace. Not the throne of anger. Not the throne of punishment. Not the throne of judgment. It's the throne of grace. And it says here to come boldly. And we talked last week about being righteous and who we are in Christ. That we go boldly to the throne. We don't go into God's presence afraid. We're not afraid of Him. He's our Father. Yes, He is God. But He's also our Father. And He's a loving Father. And He's a good Father. And we have nothing to fear because of what Jesus Christ, Jesus took away the barrier between us and God. And we can go boldly to the throne. I don't care if we've missed it or if we've sinned and we just made the biggest mistake in our lives. I don't care what your situation is. You can go boldly to the throne, fearlessly. And when we go to the throne of grace, things happen. We may obtain mercy. Anybody here ever needed forgiveness? You ever made a mistake? Forgiveness is so powerful. To have our sins wiped away and to be cleansed and to be pure. And then to find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, we could preach on grace every week for the remainder of the year and not touch the depths of all that's involved in grace. We've heard some things and we have some religious ideas about grace, but grace is God's empowerment. It's the power of God coming on us to do great things. To do supernatural things, things we couldn't do on our own. And we go, you know, and we go to the throne of grace, you receive grace. I mentioned some simple steps for prayer. Again, prayer is just talking to God. Number one, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. Don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Don't pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father. This is scriptural now. I can give you scriptures, but pray to the Father. Number two, pray in the name of Jesus. Number three, pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned being baptized with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that I speak in tongues, that I have a heavenly language. It's nothing weird to me. It's just as normal as breathing. And that's who we are and and part of this church. We are filled with God's Spirit, and I believe that everyone should be filled with God's Spirit. And if you're not, you're missing a vital piece of equipment that you need to fulfill God's plan for your life. So don't be afraid of that. Go to the Word and find out what God's Word has to say. But He works with us. The Spirit of God works with us in prayer. And He helps us to know what to pray about and who to pray about and who to pray for. Number four, pray from the platform of God's Word. That's all we're doing is really taking what God's promised and bringing those promises to reality in our lives. He has promises concerning finances, relationships, any area of our lives. He's got promises in there, and the only thing we're doing is taking those promises and really reminding Him, bringing them up before him of things he's already told us and said to us. But the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. But if we ask according to his word, the scripture says he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we will have the petitions that we ask. When you're praying according to God's word, you know you're in a safe place. You know, we're not getting off into ditches on one side or the other. We know we're in a place where we're making a connection. We can connect to God through his word and through his promises. And number five, and we talk about this in School for Life, we talk about really this in every message that we preach, is pray from the position of righteousness. Expecting God to hear and respond. We are not slaves. We are not beggars trying to get God to move on our behalf. It's not the gospel casino where we're just rolling dice and hoping God will answer one of our prayers. No, we are sons and daughters of God. We are in Christ. We've been given authority. We've been given power in this earth. And we have authority in prayer. But we have to, when we go into the throne of grace, knowing who we are and knowing our position. Because if you begin to know who you are, you begin to get bold. You begin to get bold in what you ask for. And we need some people to start getting bold. We need some people. I'm telling you, we need some people to start speaking to their school and begin to speak God's life and God's power into that school. We need people to start speaking to your business and place where you work for God's power to be there, for opportunities to share the gospel, for that business to be blessed. Because if that business is blessed, you're blessed. We need people to begin to start speaking to this city. The scriptures say, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. We need some people that will dare to stand up and say, give me Augusta. Give me Aiken. Give me Grovetown. Give me Columbia. Give me my neighborhood. And again, you know, we talked last week about the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man. I'm not just talking about words. I'm talking about things coming out of the desire of your heart, asking God for the lost that you know to be saved. And when you pray, pray with passion. Not some boring thing of drudgery and just, you know, falling asleep. I'm telling you, when you go into prayer, you get energized. Because you know when things that you're speaking, they are coming to pass. The words coming out of your mouth are going right to the throne room. Angels are being dispatched. And God's working. He's working on those things. Prayer is exciting. It's not boring. But the question we have is, why aren't more people praying? If we were to do an inventory today, you know, we've been doing some surveys on for strategic planning about different areas of the church and surveyed about 40 people in the church about various areas. If we were to do a survey of each one of us today, what's the condition of our prayer life? What kind of numbers and stats would we have in this church? A church that knows about the power of God and knows about miracles and knows about righteousness and knows about who we are in Christ. But what would be the stats for this church? Just look in your mind over this last week. How much time has been spent in prayer? And I don't say that as condemnation. I'm just trying to say for us to be aware. We can talk about things till we're blue in the face. But, you know, are we acting on the knowledge that we have? That's what makes the difference. In the last 7 days, how many minutes, how many hours have you spent in prayer? How many hours or how much time have you spent praying for the lost? How much time you've been praying for Good News Church and for the leaders? How much time you've been spending praying for your family? And so the question that I have is, why haven't we been praying? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, distractions. We have so many distractions in the time that we live in now. You know, and it wasn't that long ago, but growing up, I mean, I had a TV with three stations on there. And many times you had to get the antenna just right or you couldn't even get those three. Now we have all these channels. We have DVDs. We have video games. We have computer. We have the internet. And so I'm just naming one little small area, but so many things to be a distraction. But isn't it sad that some of the most important things in life are being left undone for doing some really useless things? And again, I watch TV. I'm not standing here and saying that I don't watch TV. But I can't think of anything that prayers that were answered or things that happened, the earth being moved while I was watching TV. I never had my room shake with the power of God while I was watching TV. While I was on the internet, I never had, you know, a miracle happen. So as we're looking at 2007, you have to begin, you know, the old saying, I mean, if you want something different, I mean, the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same things and expecting different results. That's craziness. And so if there's something that we can do to make a change in this year, I think the main thing that we could all of us do is to spend, and I'm not telling you a time frame, I'm not going to put anything on you, an hour, you have to pray an hour, and again, a minute more. Take a minute from Scooby-Doo. A minute from CSI during the commercial. Distractions. You're not going to like this one. Laziness. I'm not calling you lazy. I'm just suggesting that you are. Ignorance. Fear. And then we have this category of persons that are looking to someone else to do their praying for them. So many times you'll see in a couple, you'll see one or the other is more the prayer person. And what happens is the one relies on the other. Well, they do the praying. Well, that's got to change. We need all hands on deck, everybody in place, and everybody is to have a prayer ministry. Every one of us is to have a prayer ministry. And to be prayers. Now, what's in it for you if you pray? Let me ask you, if you were, for your job, if you weren't paid anything, would you do your job? You know, we all kind of say that, oh, I'm so passionate about what I do. And that if they didn't even have to pay me. One of the reasons we work the jobs we do is for the reward. We work for the money. There's a wage. Well, there's a wage for prayer. There's a reward for prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is our rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For the believer that will go to the throne of grace, that will go boldly to the throne of grace, there are rewards. Yes, in eternity, in heaven, but there's all rewards here on the earth. Let me ask you this question. One person that's living in this earth today, if there was one person in this earth today that you could get together for a half an hour a day and pick their brain, who would it be? Who would it be? Would it be someone like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates? Would it be somebody that has a skill in some area? Maybe for those interested in sports, would it be a certain athlete? If you could spend a half an hour with them every day, just asking them questions, who would it be? Well, how much more spending time with God and spending time with the Holy Spirit and picking His brain? The one that created all these other people. The Creator. Spending time with Him. So today we're just talking about prayer benefits. I'm just going to go through some of the benefits of praying. And there are many, and I'm just going to, this is no by any means an exhaustive list. This is a small list. But I want to show you some of the rewards and some of the benefits of prayer. First one is found in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. First benefit of prayer is peace. Peace. Anybody here need some peace? Anybody here going through anything, any problems? Anybody here have any problems? Any situations that seem beyond your control? Bigger than God, bigger than you? Anything that brings any stress in your life? I mean, we have billion-dollar industries that are dealing with stress. Part of the reason why we gain weight and have physical problems and the way we live our lives has to do with the stress of our lives. The way we act towards others has to do with stress. But the first one is peace. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, this is Amplified Version, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." You can't go into prayer, in sincere prayer, and not walk out better, and not walk out refreshed, and not walk out with God's peace. Do you know what I'm talking about with peace? Just a peace where if you just stopped and closed your eyes and just rested and relaxed, it's just a calmness over your soul. Not a care in the world. It doesn't mean anything in the natural has changed. Circumstances may be the worst they've ever been. But it's like Jesus in the boat. In the midst of the storm, He's just asleep. Because He's at rest. We can have that. We can have that every day. That's God's will for us to have that every day. But He says, "Come to me." And again, prayer doesn't have to be in a prayer closet. It doesn't have to be at home. It doesn't have to be in church. It can be in any place, any time that we can talk to God. And I've told you this story many times. But you know, this is just one story of many in my life. I was at Oral Roberts University, just under a lot of financial pressure. God had worked out so many miracles for me to go to ORU, and I was there. but my finances were low. The dean of students told me that the minute he gets the word, he's going to have to kick me out. And, you know, and I'm 20 years old, 21 years old, and I'm, you know, it's a very stressful situation for me. Here I know that God has called me to go to ORU. And here I'm in, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And so, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but I was, you know, at the midnight hour. I'm laying in my bed, and just the stress of that, I can't sleep, my stomach's hurting. I'm tossing and turning. And I just lay there for 2 hours, just rolling in my mind. I'm just seeing this image of me being kicked out, me going home, all the different things, things I had told people, just not happening. I mean, and it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse. Have you ever had a pity party? Why do they call it a pity party? Because it's not a party. And so finally, I just realized, hey, this is not working. What I'm doing here, rehearsing the problem, is not working. I need to do something different. So I got up, I got dressed, 2 o'clock in the morning, and left my dorm, and I went to the track there at ORU, and I began to walk the track. And I'm telling you, it was pretty depressing, my first few steps. Like, it's so bad. My life is so bad. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have to go home. I don't have my money, and, you know, all these things. And then I'm walking the track, and it's, you know, it's, anybody out there would have left the track if they saw me coming. It's like, but I begin to say, okay, all right, I'm going to start praying about this. And I begin to pray in the Spirit, and I begin to start declaring what God has said to me. And I begin to go over God's Word, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, and just go and rehearse in the Word. Sow bountifully, therefore you reap bountifully. You'll have all sufficiency in all things. And just, you know, talking the Word and talking to myself and slapping myself around and saying, okay. And then, you know, and I to start off real slow, but I began to get stronger. Getting stronger as I'm walking along. And then finally I begin, you know, victory starts coming on the inside. Nothing's changed. It's as bad as it's ever been, but victory started coming, and finally I started to get shouting. And then after a while, I felt like the fiddler on the roof. Brings peace. Peace. Rest. Refreshing. And I don't know what time it was, 3:34 in the morning, didn't really matter. I went back and slept. Just an awesome, just slept and just rested. Number 2, benefit of prayer is wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. I'll read this from the Message translation. It says, if you don't know what you are doing, I'm talking about you. We all like to pretend we know what we're doing and put up this big front and act like we know what we're doing. But when we get right down to it, how much do you really know? We try to fool our bosses. One of the things that the big fear employees have is that they're going to be discovered for what they really don't know. You don't know how much of an edge we live on. But if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help. And He won't be condescended to when you ask for it. And I can't tell you how many decisions that I've prayed about over the years where I've gotten God's wisdom. I'm not saying every decision has been right. I've made some dumb decisions. I've made some decisions in the flesh, but many. One of the biggest things that I prayed about was who I was going to marry. And I want to tell you, Susie, even to this day, I believe God answered my prayer. Wisdom. You need wisdom in who you're going to marry. Good gracious. Your marriage can be heaven or it can be. A big hmm. But wisdom. And it doesn't always. Sometimes it comes. I've had wisdom come to me, you know, God's heart, God's mind on a situation while I'm praying, but most of the time it comes later. It may come when I'm driving or when I'm talking to somebody or watching TV. But there's an expectation that that wisdom is coming. This is a good one. Next one, joy. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Prayer stirs up the joy that's already in your heart. As believers and Christians, we ought to be full of joy. We ought not to be down in the mouth and complainers and whiners. We ought to have people with good attitudes because we're expectant. Not saying everything's going just perfect in our lives, but we are expectant because we know the God, the Creator of heaven and earth, our Father, is moving on our behalf. He's moving right now, and He's got a billion ways to meet my need, and He's thinking of some new creative way that He hasn't tried before, and He's going to do it this time. He's come through before. He'll come through this time. So praise God. I'm just going to rejoice today. I'm just going to rejoice. I'm just going to laugh. I'm going to sing. Woo! You ought to sing like that for a little while. That'll make you happy. Joy. Next one is provision. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's talking about clothing, talking about food, talking about provision. God wants to provide. It's His heart to provide. It's my heart to provide for my kids, to provide the best education, the best clothes and food and shelter and transportation and inheritance and all these things. I mean, that's on my mind. I'm a father. It's on my mind, the welfare of my kids all the time. How much more is our Heavenly Father looking to provide for His kids? But again, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. We're afraid to ask, or we don't know that we can ask. But there's provision. Every time you go into the prayer closet, every time you pray, there's provision. Resources for the vision. This next one, I love this. Over and above. It's a benefit of prayer. Over and above. Who wants over and above? Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 is a prayer scripture. It's a prayer scripture. I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. God is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams, or dreams. We need to start thinking bigger. We need to start praying bigger. Claire, you need to start praying bigger for the kids club and for the nursery and from the preschool. You need to start saying some things in prayer that you've never said before. You need to, I double dog dare you. We need every department, every team in this church praying and calling those things that are not as though they were and start getting bold in prayer. We need every business person to start speaking some things in their business. We used to, and we're getting back to this, but we used to, I remember on Wrightsboro Road, back when we first started, and we had those gray walls and those hard chairs and that purple carpeting. Man, it was a beautiful place. Just attracting them by the droves. We used to walk around in the auditorium and we used to lay hands in every seat and we would call people in. We would call people in. You come take your place at Good News Church. Some of you were called in. All of you were called in. Now what's happened to that? Well, some of you never knew we even did that. So we let you off the hook. But we got to get back to that. We need to start calling them in because there's people in this city, in this area that belong in this church. They're looking for this church. And we got to get the prayer support and get that part and then the laborers to go forth. But start calling them. Call them in. When's the last time you walked around your store or your business and started calling them in? You talked, you know, Martha's here in furniture. Walking up to some of these king-size beds and you call that thing sold. That nightstand that's been sitting in the warehouse for 15 years. I don't mean to be telling you business, Martha. 30 years. Hey. Call it sold. Somebody out there wants it. One man's trash is another man's treasure. One of the biggest businesses in this area are these garage sales. The flea market. Now, if you go to the flea market, I'm not criticizing you, but why are you going to go to a place called a flea market? We ought to change that name. Call it the Treasure Palace or something. Flea market? I'm not bringing no fleas into my home. What am I talking about here? John 7, verse 38. Another benefit of prayer is life. John 7, 38 says, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In you is the creative power of God. We're created in His image. And the ability to speak and proclaim and declare things is a God-given ability. And the scriptures talk of that that God framed his world with his words. And part of what God did when he created this world is the scriptures talk about this, you can study it out, but he took a chaotic situation. The earth was without form and without void and chaotic and destruction and death. And he began to speak and he called things and he said, light be, and light was. And he began to talk. And what happened? Life came. Light came. We have that creative ability. And that's what happens, like something like Jump 07. I mean, you can do events all day long and not have life in it. That's what prayer does. Prayer brings the life to what we do. Prayer will bring the life to your home. Prayer will bring the life to your body. Prayer will bring life to your mind. Prayer will bring life to your relationships. It just flows out of you. Life comes. Any event that we do the foundation has to be prayer. I'm not interested in just doing a bunch of activities. I want the life of God. I want the life of God in our services. I want the life of God in our school for life. I want the life of God. You wonder about our express meetings. Maybe some of the express meetings aren't going that exciting. Well, are you speaking life? You talking about the life of God being there? Or is it just a get-together of people to have some food? Life. Speaking life. Every time. And so, you want to add yours to your life? Begin to pray. First of all, it's going to deal with the stress. Stress is one of the number one killers. It's going to deal with stress. You're going to have a calmness. You're going to have a peace. And you're going to have more life and energy than you've ever had in your life just knowing things are going to work out. G, in my notes, and no note number there, but the next one, boldness. Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. Don't raise your hand, but do we have any timid people in here today? Do we have any people in here today that are full of fear? Do we have any people in here that are afraid to step out and do something different? Well, prayer would help you. Because I tell you, the bold life is the exciting life. I want a bold life. Bold. Would you like that? Bold. I know we got men and women, but let's just say it in a real manly kind of way now. I want all of us just together now. Let's say bold. Let's have just the women now. Say bold. Now let's have the men say bold. I'm not talking about beer. I'm talking about our lives being bold, stepping out of the boat, doing something different. And I believe we're going to be a bold church this year, and we're going to have testimonies from you of lives that are touched because you were there, because you stepped out, and you said, hey, I'm not going to pass up. This opportunity is not going to pass up. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share with them about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to step out there and put it on the line. I'm going to go ahead and pray for them. I'm not going to say, I'll be thinking of you. I'm going to say, hey, let's just catch hands right now and pray. We're praying in Walmart, Kmart, Publix, Kroger, Bilo. I don't care where we are, if the Spirit of God's there and we sense it's the time, we'll just grab their hand and we'll begin to pray. And go ahead and pray loud if you want. I don't care. Be a fanatic. You won't embarrass me if I walk into Publix and I see somebody from Good News Church praying in there and they're praying loud. You're not going to embarrass me. I'm going to come join you. They're having a party over on aisle 7, man. I got to get in on that. Something's going on in the diaper area. Spice up your grocery shopping. What are we afraid of? You know, it seems like Christians are some of the most afraid people. Here we have the gospel, and we're so timid and afraid to share it. And other people, I got to think of my words here now, what they have. I mean, there's some bad words, but I mean, they don't have the gospel. And they're just bold about what it is they believe. And they're just pushing it on you. Then we have our little Christians. We don't want to offend anybody. Listen, woman. Don't be talking while I'm bold. Because I know some things about you. No. I would never share that unless they paid me. Okay. All right, last one. Work with God is a benefit of prayer. We get to work with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. One of the most outstanding stories in the Bible is in the Old Testament when God came to talk with Abraham about what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came and talked to him, and it was Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God all talking together, and they're saying, you know, do we need to discuss this with Abraham? And they all agreed and said, yes, we do. And they consulted with him, and Abraham had the audacity to make demands about how many righteous people, and started off with a number and took it all the way down. I mean, he kept on going. I mean, it's like he's bartering with God. And they followed what he said. And see, many people say, we don't have that. We don't. Laboring with God, working with God, what do you mean? Who am I? We need some Abrahams. We need to, you know, and God's looking in this congregation for people that He can use. And I just hate to say it, but there's just a few really that are really being serious about this, and they're having to carry the weight of this congregation on their shoulders. But we get to work with God. God will, because God can't do anything in this earth unless a person ask Him to do it. Even talking about the birth of Jesus, you'll read later about people that God said, well, we're going to let you see Jesus. And they were people that were in the temple with prayer and fasting, praying for the coming of Jesus. Even Jesus' birth. There's people that God had to work with in prayer. And so it begins to begin to change your mentality. We're not just living and existing. God can use us. Yes, He'll use us in ministry and laying hands on people in prayer, getting people saved, all these different things. But He'll use us in prayer. And I'm telling you, prayer is so vital. It's part of the family business. We need to learn the family business. Every one of us. And, you know, other benefits, I'll just read them to you. Spiritual power, if you were taking notes. Spiritual power found in Jude 1, verse 20. Strength found in Luke 22. Jesus was praying in the garden. The angels came and ministered to Him, strengthened Him. So that's Luke 22, verse 41 through 43. Another one is peace in the land. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And you know, you can really go on. There's hundreds, really. I'm just sharing a few of the benefits of prayer. So I'm challenging you today. If you can, all the different resolutions, put at the top of your list, prayer. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just get in there and experiment. Come to different prayer times that we have. You can learn. Every one of us can learn. Don't rely on someone else to do your praying. You pray. And again, whether it's just 5 minutes a day, all of us. And you know, and I tell you, I already sensed it today. Susan and I both talking about this before the service. We came to church today, and there's something different about Good News Church. I'm talking about just in the, you know, spiritually right now. Right now, there's something different today about Good News Church. And not in a bad way, it's better. And so we're in an awesome place to do some damage to the enemy's kingdom. We are in an awesome place to reach people. We're in an awesome place right now. And we don't want to get out there and just our own efforts and just do things. We want to get out there with the backing of Almighty God and the angels of God and have His backing. And so I'm asking you, all the time the Apostle Paul asked who he wrote to, he said, pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for us. Pray for the leaders of this church. Pray about our programs and outreaches and things we have planned and things we don't even know about. Begin to talk to people. I believe we got something really precious here in this church. Let's call them in. But see, what's going to happen as we begin to pray, you're going to become more sensitive and you're going to have ministry opportunities. That's why this I Give Life class is so important. You're going to have ministry opportunities in 2007 like anything you've ever seen before. This is going to be a year of ministry. And as a church, we're going to have to be ready for this. What are we going to do if 100 people walk in on a Sunday morning that weren't here the Sunday before? What would you have done, Nate, if 200 people showed up at Jump 07? Claire, what are you going to do if you got 25 extra kids? What are we going to do when we go to two services? How are we going to handle that? And we need everybody in place. Everybody pray. We need the people in the offering team praying. Call in the resources. We need the guys back in the sound to be praying. We need more helpers. We need really a new system. You guys start calling it in. Gary, we need the ushers. I mean, to be able to handle all that's going to happen. We need you praying. We need you guys praying. Calling it in. Everybody doing their part. And as everybody does their part, I mean, we're going to see awesome. We are going to see miracles and signs and wonders and the power of God like never before. And we've seen it already. We've had so many awesome things happen, but you haven't seen anything yet. Let's stand, everybody.